businesses, CEO coaching, fund development, marketing and branding, promotion and media relations, budgeting and financial management, program development, production, board and customer relations, and human resource practices. This is an amazing, amazing breadth of things. So, beloved listeners, I look forward to right now to say hello, and you get to listen to Miss Elizabeth Hare. Elizabeth, hello.
Hello, Ken. Thank you for that beautiful introduction and for inviting me to be with you on this wonderful Saturday.
Oh, it's a distinct pleasure. I am just so tantalized, as I know my listeners would be, to learn a little bit, because you've got such a diversified background. Can you kind of help explain a little bit of how that all pulls together for you?
Well, you know, I believe that most of us have a diversified background, although we may, at a social gathering, identify ourselves as a banker or a manager or a doctor or a healer. But those are ways I think we've labeled ourselves in the past. And I think going forward, many of the people I speak with, whether they have high professional daily jobs or they are dabbling in a whole variety of things, they do in fact have this breadth of background. Sometimes they don't realize it, but they have interests, even if they are not making, quote, a living financially from some of these. They're nevertheless very important to our overall growth as human beings and as spiritual beings. So I guess I'm trying to pull myself out of the closet and be left and right brained at the same time. And I think the more I am open and speak with people and work with people, even in the intimacy of a healing session, I find that everyone's really on that path. We express it in different ways, but we're all trying to become whole in our own way, and I think that's really the definition of healing. So for me, if I had to put one brand on it, I think what's given me great pleasure over the years is connecting people with concerts so that they can have a relaxing time at the end of their day, or connecting musicians to gainful employment so that they can pursue what they're on this earth to do. Connecting philanthropists to what can bring them joy and effect to so many different people. And now in the healing modalities, when I talk about the angels, I've learned and experienced many types of healing modalities, and the ones that I tend to practice either on myself or with others or in teaching, we really call upon guidance from the higher realms, and everyone has a different definition, but I like to use the word angels, and indeed most any religious or philosophical background around the world has some word for angels or helpers from the other side, from the higher side, from the mystical side.
Okay.
Really, when I do work with individuals, it's a matter of connecting them with their angels and their healing guidance. I can facilitate that, and I think generically, in this country anyway, we talk about ourselves as, oh, well, I do healing, or I'm a healer. But I can't make you heal unless you're ready for it, and unless we engage your higher guidance system in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, that's interesting. Now, you mentioned something previously. I want to come back to something. Right now, we see some people that are philanthropic at stepping up and doing more good in the world, and I'm curious if there's anything, you may or may not be able to share this, of some of the philanthropic things that you were able to facilitate. You mentioned connecting some philanthropists to different good projects.
Well, we have actually a very good system in this country, which we can thank the tax codes for. You didn't think you could do that.
My gosh.
I know there's a good side to the tax code, and that is the creation of nonprofit organizations. Now, around the world, I think we're the leaders in this, and there are other in other countries now what they call non-governmental organizations, NGOs. But basically, it's the nonprofit. It's where we can serve a social good or the arts or something that really benefits all of our lives or perhaps helps the underserved or the underprivileged. And it's done in a way so that it's not necessarily my beneficence to you, the individual, which could create a sense of, oh, now you owe me something in return. But what we've done by creating the spectrum of nonprofit is someone who is gifted in their ability to create money and wealth can then share that in a way through their tax-deductible donation. But once it's given, you know, and then it can spread just in a great, I sort of see a fan, an array. It can spread to so many people and people that they will never imagine that it's touched because of whatever focus they may have wanted to connect to. You know, maybe it's cancer research, maybe it's symphonic performances. But that's truly an innovation in this country that was created by some wealthy folks around the earlier part of the 20th century. And,
okay.
And we're grateful to them.
Sure. Well, to me, it is like both the, what we would call, the macro and the micro.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the standpoint of 20 years of background in nonprofit, it's, to me, in talking to you, it's like facilitating a healing for larger groups of people through these foundations or grants or
right.
Types of the nonprofit of the good they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is exciting because I'm sure many of my listeners, either themselves or people that they know, have causes that are important.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a consultant, with your 20 years of background, could certainly be someone that may be able to support that. Now, that's a rare and beautiful form of healing on a larger scale.
Right.
I
do, in fact, approach it that way, although depending on who I might be working with, whether they really want to use that language or not, we may or may not. but it truly, that is in my heart. That's the point from which I approach it, because I think we can all participate in doing good work and service on the planet with the different skill sets that we have.
Certainly. I mean, there's different religions talk about the idea of one form or another of coming back to an issue of quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
There was an assumption in some religions that there was a time of great goodness on the earth. And now we look and see that there's many places where unmet needs, people, as you've said, being underserved.
Mm-hmm.
And so to return back to the garden, so to speak, back to the goodness that we share so that hunger projects, so people are fed, people are clothed, housed,
mm-hmm.
Different kinds of things like that. So it's certainly, to me, one form of, you know, of major returning to a place of health and balance and caring among the people of the earth. Now, if folks are interested, what is the best ways to reach you?
The best way right now, and I apologize, my website is still under construction, but if they send an email to boulderangels@aol.com, I will be very pleased to send them any information, put them in contact with various people I know if they need a referral, or provide them with the kind of services I can provide to them, either in the healing realm or the business realm or both.
Okay.
And that's Boulder, as in Colorado, so it's Boulder Angels, Angels, @AOL.com.
Ah, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So something happened. it's always a bit of a curiosity, I think, to many of us, what created the shift to take you out of this larger venue that you've spent 40 or 20 years rather,
mm-hmm.
And then go into more of the micro, the personal healing?
Well, I believe we all pursue what is ultimately helping us on our individual journey. And I have all of that Capricorn structure, organizational background, but I also became, about 1994, the book falls off the bookshelf on top of my head, truly, about Reiki, and
oh,
I had already heard a year before from one of the singers I was working with at the orchestra, oh, there's this wonderful new thing, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, well, singers, you know, they're kind of like ball players. They've got their superstitions before they go on stage, and I thought, who knows what this is, and I'd never heard the word.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, when the book falls on your head, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's that thing.
and
so I started reading, and I realized I was being called
literal?
To it.
Huh? Are you being metaphorical or literal that the book actually...
No, literal, absolutely. I'm thick-skulled. These things happen to me. If I'm not listening, I get woken up in the middle of the night like an alarm's going off, and, of course, it's not. I'm going, okay, now what am I supposed to be awake for?
Uh-oh.
No, but this truly was a book fell on my head, and I had a four-hour train ride in front of me, so that's my reading material. And I got back and looked up someone there in Chicago who was teaching a class. Of course, it turns out it's the next weekend, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's no accident, really, in this life. And so I began on that path, which, of course, helps me in my own journey and my own, quote, healing. And then that pulled me to working on a one-on-one basis with other people. Wouldn't you like to try this thing? And, you know, you describe it to them, and they look at you funny. I said, well, don't worry about what it's called. It was sort of rediscovered by a Japanese man. That's why it's got that name. We'll just call it energy therapy. Try it out. See what it feels like. And, of course, everyone then, after a session's kind of looking amazed, like, I don't know what that was, but it was great. And I feel so relaxed. And so I started working more and more with that particular modality and learning a few others along the way. When I was acquainted with integrated energy therapy, or we call it IET for short, that's an energy, and it's hands-on and hands-off the body, but that's one that I really resonate with. And I don't think one is better than another. It's what resonates with you if you're going to be a facilitator or practitioner. And then the people that it will work best for will find you and you'll find them. And sometimes it's a process of trial and error.
Okay, now that's an important point that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Because a number of people are caregivers or interested in helping other people. And they found a modality that they believe in and is effective for them. But you mentioned something really key there about that point of letting it be something that when we find something, we know it means it's not for everyone, but that if we feel strongly enough about it, we can draw to us those who will resonate with what we're offering.
Absolutely. And something else, because I do now teach Reiki, IET, and magnified healing, when I'm teaching, I want people to take away that they are not now God on high. They are a facilitator, and they may have their first time out the most incredible, miraculous experience, and then the next time maybe someone says, well, I fell asleep, or that was nice, but thank you, I don't think it's for me. You can't take that personally. You have to be there and be dutiful to the practice and allow that person to do their healing. You may have been the fourth person in a row of different modalities to see a particular person. They have a great experience on your table, but somebody else was preparing the way and helping them with other modalities along the way. And so, you know, don't think that was you. That was the higher healing going on, and you were blessed to be able to facilitate it for them at that time. And there are types of healers that you know, you go to receive something, and that's fine too. I'm just telling you from my personal experience and the way that I am led to work in this healing field.
Okay, and that is essentially, I don't know if this would apply, I've heard some people talk about clearing the blocks out of the way to allow the natural healing
mm-hmm.
energies of the body to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Is that at all in the venue of what you're speaking about?
Yes. In fact, I use that same languaging, too. I think it's just something we've inherited. And if you think about cholesterol clogging the arteries,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you can do something to remove or dissipate the cholesterol, you're taking a blockage away so your blood can flow more smoothly. So we're doing the same thing within the energy realm. And, of course, we are energetic beings as well as we have a chemical system and a circulatory system. But we have the energetic system flows around the outside of our body as well as circuitry that moves within. So anywhere along this field, we may have certain things developed that are we refer to as blocks. And they may be blocks to an even flow of that energy so that eventually a certain part of our body may hurt. And it's signaling to us, if you look symbolically, it can signal that something in addition to that pain in your toe is going on. But that may be ultimately what brings you to try a new modality because other things don't seem to be working. When we talk about integrative health, and you mentioned the center in Aspen I was affiliated with too, I think it's real important, especially for our Western-based audiences, not to go flocking away from the traditional care that we grew up with because our bodies are used to that. But to look at integrative, what's the best I can take from my medical MD, and what can I then complement that with? What can I bring in from these new energetic-based and other types of supplemental-based therapies to integrate together so that they work together for my best healing? And for someone, it may be that they want to get away from taking so many prescriptions. But for others, it'll be, hey, you know, once I've added learning how to meditate and I actually do it every day, that might be a time that I could go and retest with my medical doctor to reduce a prescription that I'm taking for some ailment.
Okay.
But, you know, so many people, if they get to that point of desperation and severe pain, you know, they're just like, I'll try anything. So you want to work within that system of helping them find what's the best for them. I'm not an MD, although I know quite a few, so I'm not going to present myself as a doctor who can give them a final prescription of their complete package. But I can bring a good diagnostic tool of their energy field to say, this is what's going on today as you present to me energetically. And by that, I mean we have, those of us, we just kind of work with about four layers of the energy field. And physically, they can be anywhere 10 to 12 inches each layer away from our body. The first, generally dealing with our physical realm. The next layer dealing with our emotional realm. And the next, the mental. And the outlying is this, what many of us call the spiritual realm.
Okay, so the physical is closest to the body,
mm-hmm.
and then the others are further out from the body.
Right, right. And so if we're working with IET specifically, then we have a technique which is a pull-out technique, and we're clearing a block in the languaging we use in IET.
Well, Elizabeth, with your astrology background, you brought up something that starting Valentine's Day, that Mercury went retrograde, and just to keep Mercury happy, we had a technological glitch there. So now we've got that corrected and back on. And when we were offline for a moment, you had made mention that you were getting this prompting because we're discussing a number of interesting topics. But as a healer, it's sort of like that old saying, where's the beef? before.
Mm-hmm.
How about something that the listeners can have that would be a wonderful experience for them that they can use in their daily lives?
Well, that would be great. You know, we were talking about the IET energy therapy and how it works with the angelic realm. And the very basis of this work starts with what we call a heart link to our angels. And then once we have a heart link established with our angels, we can heart link to other human beings or to our pets or to a situation in life. But the basis is that we're bringing down that wonderful angelic energy, which is so much more powerful than we could ever begin with at our own level of being. And so it's magnified, if you will. And I thought perhaps I could just walk your listeners through, it takes about 5 minutes or so, to establish a heart link. And then this is a technique they can use anytime, anywhere. So if that sounds like a plan, we'll go for it.
Yes, I would love to participate, and I know so many of my listeners appreciate this kind of hands-on, practical thing. So please, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Great. Well, the first thing is I'm going to walk us through, and we'll do this technique about 3 times just to set it and establish it. But as we're doing it, I'm going to also teach you the shorthand. So if you want to go ahead and it doesn't matter which hand, just put your thumb and your middle finger together. That's a little bit of a universal meditation symbol. But anyway, that will be our shorthand to establish the heart link. And now we'll go through the long version so that people can actually feel it. And again, the heart link is this opening to a channel of compassion, an energy cord or channel between our heart center and the heart center of our angels, and then something we can offer to the heart center of another. So to start with, just close your eyes and take a couple of nice cleansing breaths. And bring your focus of awareness to your own heart center. And now, in a way that feels perfect and right for you, offer a prayer of gratitude to your higher power and to your angel of healing. This opens up our individual heart center. And now project a golden energy cord from your heart center up through your throat, your third eye, the top of your head, which we call the crown chakra, and up into the highest realms of the universe with the intention of connecting to the heart of your angel of healing. Start the flow of energy in the heart link by sending your energy of love and gratitude up that heart link, up that channel to your angel. And now open your heart center and receive the love of your angel back down to your heart. And notice that it's 10 times stronger than the love that you sent out. And now once again, send that heart link up from your heart to your throat, third eye and crown chakra, up to your angel of healing with love and gratitude, and feel your angel's energy pouring down upon you 10 times stronger, filling your heart, feeling it expand. And once again, send your love up that channel to your highest angel of healing, and receive your angel's love back in return, tenfold. And feel it expand. All the warmth, the compassion. And with that, let us now form a human heart link. So just in your mind's eye, think of a person. It can be someone who's close to you or someone that you haven't seen for a while. It could be someone that you get along with or someone you have a great challenge with. But remember that the heart link from your angel is bringing that divine compassion into your heart, and now send it from your heart across a heart link channel you're creating to the heart of that other person. If there were any difficulties you were having with that person, they'll just dissolve. If that person has a challenge with healing, you might even feel, sense, or see that heart link energy following wherever in their body needs healing. And now bring your awareness back to your own heart center. And remember that at any time, if you put your thumb and that third middle finger together, you in essence are creating a heart link to your highest angel of healing. And that resource is available anytime, anywhere, all the time. And now, in case some of your listeners are very good at meditating, come back into your body now, wiggle your fingers or toes, and when you're ready, open your eyes. So hopefully everyone's back with us now.
Yes, we want to welcome.
That's the longer version of what you can just put those fingers together and heart link at any time. And I'll tell you what, the angelic realm consists of thousands upon thousands of angels. And they delight in being able to help human beings on Earth. But there's a very key element, and that's we have to ask for their help. And that creating that heart link is, in essence, asking or opening that channel for their compassion, love, help. If you need a parking space, they'll help you with that. If you have a challenge with someone at work, they'll help you with that. And you don't have to tell that person that you're sending them a heart link. But I'm telling you, it's just really a great, great tool. And when we're working within the IET energy system, we're always starting with the heart link so that we're linking to our angel, to our client's angel, and bringing as much healing energy to bear for that session as possible.
Mm.
I could probably go into tons of detail. It would be as much confusing as far as IET. But I'll just sort of conclude the talking about energy therapy by saying that, you know, energy is frequency, and we have so many different, frequency being the vibration per second. And we have everything from low to high, from the realms of light and color to sound and vibration that creates sound, to these really higher realms of angelic frequency, which bring the light-encoded information for healing and wholeness to each individual. So basically, when we have an IET session, we're asking for that assistance. And depending on what the person in their subconscious or in their conscious is ready to receive in healing, it can come through.
Hmm. Okay. So it's not like something that would happen too fast and cause possible harm.
No. Now, I tell you, that's one thing about this particular therapy, is the angels protect us, guide us, and direct the sessions. And, you know, you may be working on something, and if you cleared it all at once, it might upset you. So sometimes it's like peeling the layers of the onion, and you're processing and working to clear a bit at a time. And like I say, you may have other therapies. I've worked with people that are in psychological counseling, and they've been working maybe a couple of years with that therapy on whatever issues are really bothering them. And they'll have an energy session, and I'll get a call the next week and say, I don't know what you did, but when I went to my session with my psychologist, you know, she just said, we've cut 6 months off the therapy. You know, whatever it did, it shifted something. And they were ready for it, but it gave them a little extra push to help them with whatever they were working on. I find, too, that if there's an accident or an injury, the quicker you can get to it to work on it, the faster it's going to heal. All of this is about reducing stress and helping the body heal itself. But I just always like to refer to one instance that I had, and I had someone getting in my car, and they were getting in the back seat, and someone's getting in the front seat, and they grabbed the door frame, and the person in the front seat's just, you know, yakking away and closes the door on their hand. And, you know, the first thing I just saw this happening, like, all of a sudden in slow motion, it's like, oh, no, you're going to break that person's hand. And so we got the door open quickly. The person's pulling their hand, looking, they're still in shock. I said, give me your hand. I'm going to hold your hand for 15 minutes. It's like, I didn't give them an option.
Yes.
And really, you know, I could feel heat, because often when you're working, you know, the practitioner feels heat or cold or some sensation. So I felt a lot of heat coming through. And it processes through my body and through my system. And so I'll breathe heavily to help equalize that pressure and heat. And then the person I was working with, he started after 2 minutes, he said, ooh, I feel sensations. And I said, well, I'm not going to give your hand back yet. We're just going to keep sitting here and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kept on. And then after about 4 minutes, he says, oh, well, now the sensations are gone and it doesn't feel too bad. I said, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not giving your hand back yet. I just had a sense I needed to hold that hand for about 15 minutes. And why did I decide that? I don't know. But it was just like this instinct took over. And so after that time, then he's looking at his hand. And he's got this puzzled look, and he says, gosh, there's no broken bones, and there's no bruisings, at least not yet. And I said, well, you know, we'll have to see tomorrow.
Mm.
And he said, but wait a minute, I had arthritis in this hand. I don't even have that.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I guess you were up for a healing on that hand today.
Yeah.
You know, but and so you get those, what I call little miracles. But it was only because I didn't stop to think about, okay, how would we do A to B to C to help him out? And by the way, should we also get some ice? That's kind of a traditional thing. I just let the guidance take over on automatic pilot, and that's apparently what wanted to happen for him that day. So they do happen that way.
Ah.
And then you have people that they really came to you for one thing, and then they notice a couple days later, oh, this other pain's gone, or they had some other kind of shift. And then I have people that say, well, I really didn't notice much difference, and I think they were hoping that they would have a healing from some major, major illness. It's probably been with them a while. And I said, well, you know, if you just could have some peace, some relaxation, then we've accomplished something today, and then go into your prayer and meditation and think about this or that, whatever may have come up during that session. Because as I go through the energy field, I can see which things are bothering them symbolically from their body, whether it's issues of judgment or fear or stress or, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Things often will surface during a session, and then at the end I'll give them some notes on that. Now, it won't come to me like, well, they're having an argument with their next-door neighbor. I'm not a visual seer that way. But I'll get a sense of what area it is and then ask them really to examine it in their own life. And that becomes a more powerful healing because they're bringing it up for themselves, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Different levels of participation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, those are some beautiful things. I was thinking earlier of the old saying that many of us have heard is physician, heal thyself.
Yes, indeed.
and then with your background in the arts, it came to me, well, how about musician, heal thyself?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's really amazing. You'll run into a few of the professional musicians who do understand this, and there's a great example of a man I'd worked with at the San Francisco Symphony, Dan Kobialka, one of the top major classical violinist in the world, and yet about 15 years ago he started just from some of his own health issues exploring how could I use music for healing purposes, and now he has a whole website and has done probably 15 or 20 recordings of music. Some of it is familiar to us, some of it is newly composed, but music that can be used for healing purposes. And he's one of many people, but I think of him because he's one of the earliest ones I personally have known, who comes really from that classical side and sort of crossed over to the broader use of music. And it's been a joy working with the University of Colorado to prepare this conference coming up in June, because that will take a look at music and health in America. And because the American Music Research Center, which is an archive on campus there for American music of all kinds, from show tunes to classical composers, they got curious. They said, well, you know, we're hearing about this, and we want to do a conference on it, but we want to be specific to music, not just sound. Of course, sound healing has many, many wide reaches and meanings, and they're all very good too. But particularly on campus, we're academically based, and so we're calling in MDs, healthcare researchers and practitioners, music therapists, especially those that are very well respected in the field and have produced books and research projects, to share their findings together. And you would think that they already do, but it's very interesting. All these groups have wonderful, valid things going on, but they pretty much just meet with themselves. So we're creating a forum to cross between disciplines. And I think quite a number of people that might identify themselves as the general public would also find this fascinating and come away with some real valuable tools that they could use themselves. And, of course, we'll have books and various things available as well as the sessions. But we've got quite a few experiential sessions as well as straight lectures. We have panels where we're bringing people from the different disciplines together. We'll look at things historically, for example, Native American traditional healers, indigenous healing, and how do they use music? Because, you know, sometimes there's ceremony for groups, and sometimes it's a one-on-one individual healing with what that person's own song may be. You know, and this is a concept I had not thought about, but each person may have their own song of healing. And in that culture and practice, that's often the case. But then we'll look at what's going on down at Children's Hospital in Denver. They have an arts and music therapy program that's been very valuable, and what findings are coming out there. Don Campbell, who wrote the Mozart Effect books and about 15 other books about the use of music in health and healing, will be one of our keynotes as well, and he also helped organize parts of his conference. So it's very juicy, and the website is so long.
Yes.
But if people have a pencil, I'll go through it, and then, of course, they can contact me at boulderangels@aol.com, and I will send them the link as well. Or they can just Google Music and Health in America, and I'm sure the conference will come up.
Okay.
But if you want the website,
here it comes.
It is. Ready. http://ucblibraries.com/
That's like the University of Colorado Boulder?
That's what that stands for, yes.
Okay.
UCBLibraries.colorado.edu, then another slash, then the letters AMRC, another slash, Music Health, and then the numbers 2007.
Oh, okay.
It's a long website, but hey, it was free, so.
But there you go. And
like to use all available resources. And actually, that will also link you with other interesting things going on at the university and make links if some of your listeners are not from this region, telling them about Boulder in general and where they could find hotels, et cetera. We also have a phone number for more information where we could send you a brochure, and that number is 303-735-0237. And again, this is open to everyone in a particular interest, I think, to music therapists, doctors, nurses, holistic practitioners, as well as the academic field, ethnomusicologists, historians, educators. We have a workshop for music educators specifically. also composers. Two of the real keynote headliners are Issei Barnwell, who is a musician, composer, violinist, and she's one of the original founders of the musical group Sweet Honey in the Rock, which I think a lot of people have heard of them. Just a delightful person. She also has a PhD in public health, so she has done amazing research and will do an interactive workshop on building a vocal community and looking at how music can actually build community and bring healing to community. And then we also have one of the deans of American composers, Pauline Oliveros. She was New Age before there was New Age. She has created something she calls a deep listening experiences, and has created quite a body of music, which probably today would be called meditative music, but brilliantly composed, very interesting, and then the list of people goes on and on, and one of our evening concerts will also feature Jonathan Goldman, who many people in the sound healing field know from all of his work in that arena. So, like I say, we're bringing diverse groups together to share information and hopefully bring this particular field of health and healing forward as well.
Mm. Wow. Well, that's a powerful project, integrating things in a practical way and something that would be very entertaining.
Yeah, healing does not have to be all serious.
Oh.
No. In fact, you know, the angels are always laughing at me. I will get very serious about something, and they'll throw a joke in there, and it's like, okay, we're supposed to think of ourselves lightly and remember that there is humor in God's kingdom.
Oh, there's that old, I think it's a Scottish, what the power, the gift to gee us to see ourselves is ither see us. To be able to get that perspective from the outside.
Absolutely.
Because I know when we're taking things so seriously, oftentimes it's very amusing to those around us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to be able to step into that, and it sounds like that's part of what you bring to your healing work with this IET.
Right. And it's interesting, and you know, I mentioned the frequencies of light and color as well as sound and music, and really so much research is now coming out about the music and the sound and things we've been perhaps doing for years and years through culture, and now with our scientific minds, we're actually codifying, we're making research projects, as silly as that may sound. But to just help prove the validity of these as modalities for our health. And once we can embrace them in that way, it just widens the value of things we may have always done in our life, but now we have them in a bigger setting.
Mm.
I don't know how much time we have left, so I don't want to launch into something.
We're actually coming to a wrap-up time here, Elizabeth.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just excited that you could take time to share that heart link with us.
It's an amazing tool, and just practice.
Oh, yes, that heart link is definitely something that the listeners can both use and refer people to the archives so that they can get to listen to that and add that in. Just a powerful, easy tool.
Absolutely. And if they wanted to learn more about the IET in general, they could go to the IET website, which is www.learnIET.com. Or, again, if they wanted to experience it, send me an email and we can set up a time if they are here, or I can help connect them to someone in their location if they want an in-person session of some sort. And also the IET website has a listing of quite a number of practitioners in the various parts, actually around the world, because it's now in Australia and Europe as well as in the U.S. A lot of, and South Africa, I think I've seen quite a number down there.
Ah, good. And then your email to contact you again is?
Mine would be Boulder, B-O-U-L-D-E-R, Angels, A-N-G-E-L-S, at AOL.com.
Hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. It's just a delight to have you sharing so that people could turn to you for both personal assistance through some wonderful energetic healing, and then also with your diverse background and working with nonprofit and businesses, that you're very well grounded in consulting for. Okay. Well, have a wonderful week, beloved listeners. And Elizabeth, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to participate in this day and this wonderful time of sharing with you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. God bless.
You too.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Let go and let God. Let myself.